Luke chapter 2, verse 10. This is when the shepherds. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm going to spend some time studying joy because there's some really interesting things about joy. In Galatians 5, joy is listed as the fruit of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, there are a jillion words for joy. Not a jillion, but there are 8 or 10. And so, the most common one for joy is a word called, it's a Hebrew word, simha. And it means, it's from the word samia, which means to be bright or to shine. And that's, most of the time you see the word joy, it's that. And it means to be bright or to shine. Let's just look at one of them and see it. Proverbs 13. It's important to recognize that joy has nothing to do with happiness.
I feel joy after a good cup of coffee.
No, you feel happiness.
Proverbs what?
13. Let's just start in verse 5. The righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. And there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. This is the one. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Now, the word rejoiceth there is this word is bright or shines. And it's, you can see it's, what do you call it? But the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. So the most common word for joy in the Old Testament is the word that means to be bright or to shine. And it's a word that means your countenance changes. Now, there's many nouns that have the idea of springing or leaping. And then there's one that to me is the most interesting. It's the Hebrew word gil, which means to go in a circle. And it means, it's the word that means dancing for joy. In the Talmud, when it says that on the Feast of Tabernacles in a certain feast, one of the rabbis danced on his thumbs. But he was leaping or dancing, but it's the word leaping or dancing, but it was translated joy. And then the gil means to go in a circle. And that's where we get the Hebrew dance, the hora, because the dance of the circle expressed the joy of the community. And let's look at a few of those. Let's go to Psalm 43. We're talking about joy. Well, it's just one verse. I'll just read one. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Now, the exceeding joy there is the word gil, which means to go in a circle or dancing for joy. And go to Isaiah 16. Verse 10. And it says that, and the gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field, and in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. Now the word there that's this dancing in the circle, there shall be no women. No, gladness is the one. It's gladness is taken away, and that's this one. There's no more dancing in the circle. All right? Then Isaiah 35.
Which word is the
gladden?
The other one, which word is the other joy in that verse? Which?
Wait a minute. Maybe I screwed up. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's not gladness. I'm sorry. It's glad. It says, and gladness is taken away and joy out of the plentiful field. Joy is the word that's the dancing in the circle. I'm sorry.
So they got this, almost not maybe contrast gladness versus joy or and joy?
No, it's gladness and joy will be taken out.
Are they more or less the same?
No, gladness is the one about being bright, this the brightness.
Oh.
So it's two different words. All right, one more. Isaiah 35.
So these different words are
the different expressions of joy.
Just different expressions, not a different meaning. Just a different way of expressing the same emotion.
But there's a reason that they use the different words, because the different words are expressing joy in a different manner. One is a change of countenance because of the brightness. The other is this leaping. And the other is the dancing in a circle, the hora. But they're all the expressions of joy that are it's religious joy. It's joy about it's joy in the revelation of God. All right?
Yeah, I think the dividing line I'm probably looking for is which is out of the flesh, which is out of the spirit.
No, all these are religious, all is spirit.
This is all spirit.
Yeah. Okay.
Where are we now?
Now, Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Now, that joy there is the dancing in the circle, the hora. And that's why they do the hora in the ancient times, the ancient dance of the, you know, we've all seen that. That's what they did always at the harvest times, and when the vineyard was, when the wine was finished, when the wheat was finished, when the barley was finished, they had this celebration of joy in the harvest. Now they may have been dancing because the harvest was finished. But the type is they were dancing because they've seen the harvest of the Spirit, which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Reason to be joyful.
Yeah.
It's also like the fruits of their faith.
Right. Hosea, let's go one to one. I turned right to it. How about that? Hosea 9. The whole chapter 9 of Hosea is about judgment has come. and it's in verse 1, yeah. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God, and thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor or every threshing floor. So anyway, those are all, I mean, we just barely touched the surface of what these are, but I just wanted to give you an overview in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, the most common word for joy is chara, C-H-A-R-A, and C-H-A-I-R-O, which means to rejoice. Chara is joy, chairo is rejoice, and charis is grace. So they're all kind of interrelated.
These are the charismatic
words. I don't go there. There's also an interesting word. It's just used very rarely. It's used about 5 or 6 times in the New Testament. It's agallias. Agalliasis. It means exultation or exuberant joy. And so let's look at those. What?
And that reminds me of glossolalia.
No, that's not. It has nothing to do with glossolalia.
But there is a relationship beyond words.
Okay, but that not it isn't in the, it isn't in the they're not of the same root word. It's like by his stripes we are healed. All right, let's Luke 1. We've been studying Luke. We studied both of these, but this is that word that means exuberant joy or exultation. So first, Luke 1, let's start in verse 13. That's when he's talking to Zechariah. The angel of the Lord said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." The joy there is this agaliasis that he was going to have. And then in verse 44.
Well, why is that a different word there, I wonder? We're talking about all different expressions.
This is super joy.
This
is exuberance and exaltation. Okay, the next one is in verse 44. And this is an interesting one because it says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Now that word joy, that's the babe leaped for joy in Elizabeth's womb when she heard the voice of Mary. I mean, when the babe heard the voice of Mary. So that one is this exuberant. I mean, you can't imagine something in a womb having that kind of joy, but that was what happened. Now go to Matthew 5, and this one takes some thinking about. Verse 11, Matthew 5:11. And 12, but we're going to start at 11. "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." The word "exceeding glad" there is this exuberance. That doesn't make any sense. First thing, somebody says all manner of evil against you falsely, oh shit, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to get him. No. What?
If you know who you are,
right,
then you are exceeding glad that you're being persecuted because you penetrated the shell and people are hearing, whether they understand or not.
Okay, let's go to Acts 2. So let's see if by studying joy you can experience joy. How about that?
where are we going?
Acts chapter chapter 2.
It's not funny, but I before today, I never really made a distinction between joy and happiness.
Happiness is based on external circumstances. Joy comes from eternity.
Fleshly, carnal, natural.
Well, it comes from because your circumstances happen the way you want them to, or your football team wins.
Yeah.
Or,
I thought joy.
Or I got a new job, or whatever. Or I made a lot of money.
Joy about the
categories.
Yeah. No, football's about too much of a
win. But it's the perfect anti-time.
This is the speech, the great speech of Peter. You men of, verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Now, the word my heart rejoice is this exuberant exultation, the joy. Now, every time, everyone who saw in the Old Testament experienced that joy, whether it was Abraham saw his day and was glad, whether it was Joshua and Caleb, whoever it was, and this they knew that exuberant joy. And that's, I pray that each one of you can know that exuberant joy that has absolutely nothing to do with your condition and circumstances. It has to do with his revelation of Christ in you. All right, then go to verse 46.
What's a glad tongue all about? That's...
He wasn't ashamed to speak what he felt.
He expressed then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without
it was the fruit, his expression was the fruit of that exuberance.
This brings to mind what we talked about, returning to our first love.
Right.
The
presence. Yeah, I'm not going to do it, but I can remember 10 or 15 specific instances since the day I became a believer where there was this kind of exuberant joy. Most of the time when I was alone. A couple of times, though, it was, I remember when John wrote the song "Dust," and it was a little more flesh has turned to dust, a little more waters turned to wine. When I heard that the first time he sung it, I just went nuts inside, because then I acted like I got mad because he expressed it better than I had for years. And then when Joysana said that time, which I don't have to be good anymore.
Yeah, that was.
But there's a whole bunch of times that in all of you have had them where you just know that joy.
Yeah, it's like uncontrollable and not wanting to be controlled.
Okay, go to Acts 2:43. And this is the life among the believers as a result of Peter's sermon. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, the word gladness there is this exuberance, the exuberant joy, agaliasis. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7.
just as a side light, on 47, it talks about praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. It's almost like there's a relationship between that joy and it draws people in. They see that, and it's so compelling that they want to be part of it. Where did we go?
2 Corinthians 7.
You know, I'll talk about that one in a minute. 2 Corinthians 7. This is when Paul had written a really hard letter to the Corinthians, and now he's writing, he's talking about his joy in the Corinthians' repentance. But in verse 13 he says, "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we were for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." Paul had extreme concern for what had been going on in the church at Corinth, and so he sent Titus. And he didn't know what to expect. They didn't have any email or anything. They didn't have any postal service. And so Paul was extremely concerned that the people at Corinth would not have taken his letter rightly and repented, but they did. And so his joy was exceeding, and then it was doubled because they received Titus. Okay. Let's go to Hebrews 1. Verse 8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Now the word gladness there is this agaliasis, exuberant joy. And this is that verse 8 is from Psalm 45. All right, one more. Let's go to Jude 24 and see what Jude has to say. By the way, I get a call from JW last night, and my computer had sent him an invitation from me to be on this thing called LinkedIn, which I told you about. But because I pushed this button and it went to everybody in my...
That would be Ole Anthony Anthony?
I don't know what it is. We're going to get rid of that when I get the computer running. Anyway... JW busted me 6 ways from Sunday. He said, I was so disappointed in you. I thought you were like me, but there you go. He got the biggest kick. Jude. I've gotten busted by so many people over that.
You're reaching out to be friends.
That's no. Okay, and then we spent about 6 months on Jude once, but now he's destroyed all of them.
Jude, what?
Well, we're going to start in verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now here's where it comes. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Exuberance, exultation. You're going to drink to that? Who said that?
That's a great toast.
All right, we're going to spend a little bit more time on joy, about what Jesus, his own experience of joy, and what he says about it with regard to us. But we don't have time today to do it. Any thoughts about joy? The deepest, most exceeding joy comes as the fruit of your deepest and total abandonment of self. And it comes whenever that happens.
And that's the only way it can come. True joy.
Amen. All righty. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.
So what is that LinkedIn all about?
What is what?
What is LinkedIn all about?
I have no idea. I got an advertisement. Not an advertisement. Somebody sent me one of those things. They wanted me to be on LinkedIn. It was John Camp, the guy that used to be on, we did all the work with at CNN, but he's now retired. And so I opened it. I don't know what LinkedIn is, so I hit it.
There you go.
And there I go. And then I thought I was deleting it, but I pushed the button that was right there by it, and it sent an invitation from me to get, I think, everybody in my address book.
You may have, because Joshua Femister called me and said, I got an invitation for Ollie to be on LinkedIn. And I said, Joshua, I'm glad you called me, because he said, but I doubt that Ollie really sent. I said, well, I doubt he did too, so you just ignore it.
Well, first of all, they doubled your name up. I mean, you don't go
they
by Ollie Anthony.
They make those things to where.
I'm sure I'm not the only one that did that.
That's a wicked thing.
Yeah, well, that's to promote their own.